good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Native Roots Trading Post, and we have new hours for the summer. We're located at 700 Nicollet Mall in downtown Minneapolis on the first floor of the Dayton's building. Robert, when are we closing for the summer? Come on down and get your merch before we close for the summer.
Well, the exciting thing is, Wendy and Ogma, is that we're doing powwows, and people are really receptive to our merch there. And so we're going to be doing one this weekend in downtown St. Paul, where Harriet Island is, and that's just a beautiful place right next to the Mississippi. And maybe I should go clean our boat so I can go cruise over there or something. I don't know. But, you know, we'll be at powwows too, and, you know, with our merch and our Resist t-shirts and all the groovy stuff we have in the store. So we're still excited, and you know, so how's the weather there in New York, Wendy?
Well, the weather has been great. It was just about 70 degrees today, partly sunny, and it was a great day to walk. So,
see, I miss you, Wendy, because you usually give me a weather report and of our own weather here in Ogama. How's the weather up there in the deep north?
Well, I did 11,000 steps today.
Wow, you're way ahead of me, and I haven't done any.
11,554 steps.
I was able to go down to the Minnesota History Center, and they have unbelievable things of Native Americans down there, and also Ho-Chunk stuff, so I'm excited to go back there. That was like an awesome thing that I did today. But before I get too babbling here, we have State Senator Mary Kunish coming on later, and then Wendy with our sacred animal talk. And then we're going to start out with Ogama with our news that you don't hear anywhere else. So welcome, Ogama.
Hi, Bujuanin, everybody. I am Ogama Ganuakwe, and I am from the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. My name means strong golden eagle woman, and I've got some news for you here. A lot of stuff going on in Minnesota or the Twin Cities area this weekend, Robert. This weekend up at Itasca State Park is the Water is Sacred Gathering at the Headwaters, which is put on by Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light, the Minnesota Unitarian Universalist Social Justice Alliance, Honor the Earth, and I believe another group. I'm sorry, I'm missing a couple groups off of there, but tickets are available at MNIPL, which stands for Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light, .org/events, and you'll see Headwaters Gathering 2022. So it's this weekend, June 3rd through 5th, and is their fourth annual gathering in northern Minnesota to honor sacred waters and reaffirm Native and Indigenous sovereignty. If you are Native American, you may know that 4 is a sacred number. So it's the fourth annual one. So if you're up in the area and you've got the time this weekend, it'd be a great event to go and reconnect with community and have some prayer for our water, which we know was hurt by the Line 3 pipeline being installed in Minnesota here. Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., there's foraging with Elder Hope Flanagan down in the Twin Cities. So they're starting with a blessing and a lesson at the Four Sisters Farm in South Minneapolis, and then they're going on a tour. They're going to be doing in-person gathering, and masks are required if you're coming in person, but they'll also be available on Zoom and YouTube. So that is really awesome. I might try to get into that on Saturday. So you'll definitely want to go check out the online event on social media. It's called Foraging Foraging with Elder Hope Flanagan, and you can track it down that way. It's going to be really good. Coming up in June, the Water Protectors are getting together again to come back to the Shell Campground. So looks like Shell River Reunion Number 1 is scheduled June 17th through June 19th at the Shell City Campground. You can find more at actionnetwork.org/events/Shell River Reunion 1. So they're forming the Shell River Alliance, which is intended to protect the Shell River through education, advocacy, land trust, conservation work, and community building. So they're inviting friends, allies, and water protectors to join for 3 weekends this summer of camping at the Shell City Campground, where they'll serve food and provide an opportunity to share updates for the work of to protect the Shell River and work on plans together. So that sounds really exciting. Robert, I don't know if you remember last summer that Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth and I believe 6 other women were arrested standing up for the Shell River.
Yeah, I do. I do remember that.
Yes. Yep. They've dubbed themselves the Shell River 7, and there's some pretty powerful videos on that. So if you haven't gotten a chance to see that, make sure you check it out. Bonus, June is an open mic for concerts on the Shell, but coming up in July, they'll have Corey Medina, and then in August, they'll have Annie Humphrey. So awesome events coming up this summer. And then in Wisconsin, Saturday, June 25th, is the Communities United by Water at Bayview Park. That is, again, a weekend-long event. You can find tickets at wisconsinline5.com/communitiesunitedbywater2022. There's going to be water protectors meeting to organize, inform, sing, dance, play, eat. They're going to have lacrosse. There's a potluck. There's a feast. There's all kinds of things. The lineup for that event just looks absolutely wonderful. Again, go to wisconsinline5.com to find some more information about that. You know, Robert, I wanted to talk about this one yesterday and I didn't get a chance to. We were talking about the official documentary for Misty Upham. Has anybody, I remember you mentioning yesterday before the show started that you had heard of her.
Right.
Misty Upham was a Native American actress and she got some awards for her performance in the film Frozen River from 2008. However, on October 5th, 2014, she left her sister's apartment on the Muckleshoot Reservation in Washington on foot. And the following weekend, her family announced that she had not been seen or heard from since then. And they were concerned for her welfare. So they spoke to the Auburn Police Department and told CNN that police had not opened an investigation and were not regarding Upham as a missing person at that time because of mental health issues. And they confirmed that family members had contacted the police in Auburn, Washington several times to report Upham missing. And then eventually she was located, unfortunately, deceased on October 16th by friends and family and other members of the Muckleshoot tribe. So I believe it is her father, Charles Upham, who commissioned to start getting this documentary talking about what really happens with our missing and murdered Indigenous relatives. You know, Misty Upham, you know, was an award-winning actress and they still did not go look for her. And, you know, we'll never know what would have happened had the police taken action sooner. And I think that's really the hard part about a lot of that kind of stuff. Absolutely breaks my heart to think about it. And we know that those kinds of stories happen all the time. So the other one last thing that I kind of wanted to touch base on today, too, was that we have Juneteenth coming up. So Juneteenth is June 19th. And there are some events that are coming up that weekend in Duluth. So Duluth is having Juneteenth free community events in 2022. So Thursday, June 16th is the mayor's proclamation. There's events on Friday. There's an elders luncheon. Saturday, the 18th, there's a Twin Ports event. And then on Sunday, June 19th, there is a big Juneteenth Jubilee from 1 to 6 p.m. hosted by the NAACP at the Hillside Community Center in Duluth. So I'm really happy to see Juneteenth taking off and all of us getting together to help celebrate our other BIPOC relatives for Juneteenth. And fun fact, my nephew was born on Juneteenth.
Oh, wow. Hey, I just want to say this. We're going to go over time just a few seconds here, but with that story about that missing actor, you know, one of the most powerful things I heard was Heather Keeler, state representative, tell her children, if I ever go missing, look for me because I'll never run away. I'll never do all these things. So if she's missing, she's really missing. So I think it's powerful. And we'll be right back. Thank you, Ogama. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Wow, we're really happy to have State Senator Mary Kunish on, and I know she's busy doing other things, so we really know how valuable your time is, but we also really, really appreciate this check-in that we get to talk to you once a week about what's going on here in Minnesota politics, but also just around Native communities and things like that. And maybe you can even tell us what you're doing. It looks like you got a cool little building behind you.
Sure. Good to see everyone this evening. I hope you can hear me okay.
Yep, we can hear you good.
I'm here in Minneapolis. I'm at the Hale Mansion in South Minneapolis, and it's a fundraiser called Roe versus Rage, R-A-G-E, and it's a fundraiser to support pro-choice state, or not just state senators, but representatives and elected officials. And so I just came out of a meeting or a little discussion about what could happen if there are certain choices made or certain laws reversed at the federal level, how that would look for Minnesota. And Minnesota, of course, is the only state in the upper Midwest that still has legalized abortion. I think we have 8 abortion clinics here in Minnesota, and folks from all over travel to Minnesota to get their medical care. And so we are, a lot of legislators are here, a lot of other folks that are very concerned about turning back our reproductive rights. And so that's where I am right now.
Well, that's great that you're there supporting this. You know, the high percentage of all America that's for, you know, women's rights is almost 80%. So I don't know who these people are representing. It's just a mind blower, Mary.
Well, the decision makers are those at the, you know, the Supreme Court level of our federal government. And, you know, I get really nervous when we look at who's sitting in those seats. They are very ultra-conservative Republicans. And so just a few people have the power, literally the power, to make those decisions to reverse a woman's option and ability to choose her reproductive health. And, you know, that's just not right. You are absolutely correct, Robert, when you say 80% of Americans believe that women should have access to abortion and reproductive health. And this just, you know, can't happen in the United States, let's say. But I'm very worried that it will.
Yeah, we really have to, because we talk about this a lot, how the news cycle is so quick. You know, it just was 100 days now that Russia invaded Ukraine, and that just flew by. And that's also like the second or third story of the news now. And then, you know, we have Johnny Depp, and people were obsessed with that trial. We have to remember these things that the Republicans are not for anything. They're against stuff. And we have to really amplify that. And hopefully we're going to be doing Rock the Vote Native Style on Tuesdays, and hopefully you can stop in once in a while and help us rally up the troops and with our other people running, our other natives and people, and really just get things rocking.
I would be more than happy to, because you know, it's not just our Native folks that we need to get elected, which is really super important. You know, I'm the only Native person in our Minnesota Senate. It's kind of a lonely place to be. I could use a lot more company. And we need to build that force to be reckoned with. But we also need to get more, you know, of our Democrats elected and get the majority, especially in our Senate. And keep the majority in our House, and keep our Democratic governor. And then that way we will be able to ensure that not only women will have reproductive rights, but we'll have the ability to educate, you know, kids around responsible behavior and ethic behavior when it comes to relationships, how to have a healthy relationship, but also recognizing that, you know, it's not just abortion that they are talking about reversing. They actually want to, elected officials at the federal level that want to outlaw any kind of contraception.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if a woman has an IUD, she has to have it removed or she can go to jail. If a doctor, you know, allows or promotes or prescribes any kind of a birth control, that doctor could go to jail. You know, I just don't understand how we've stepped back so very far in civil rights. I mean, these are civil rights matters.
Mary, right. I'm in New York right now, and I think I may be mistaken, but I believe that New York is another state like Minnesota that you know, abortion will continue to be legal even if the feds you know, reverse Roe v. Wade. And again, it upsets me so much because of what happened in Texas with this killing of these children and the gun laws, that the Republicans really, you know, they want to save the baby in the womb, the fetus in the womb. But once that child is born, they're not taking any steps whatsoever to help that child grow healthy and strong. They don't even want to approve money to give to schools for education. It's
right.
It's upsetting. It really is. And I just want everybody to get out there and vote and to talk to your friends and your peers and to vote in people so that we don't have to go through this.
Yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely true. I mean, I hope that this next election in November, voters spend a lot of time looking at the issues and what your candidates are for, but also what are they against, and look at their either their voting record if they've been an elected official in the past, but also look at how they have made public messages. Like, we have a Republican candidate for governor who at one time carried like common sense gun control bills. He is a doctor and got a taste of what it's like to have a little bit of notoriety and popularity, and has gone way off the deep end. He's a doctor and made, disparaging remarks about COVID, and he was a denier and made really untruthful comments about vaccines. And this is a medical doctor who is supposed to be saving lives and giving, the best care to their patients. Well, he also, when he was in the Senate, and he was just there for 4 years in Minnesota, carried safe, sensible gun control bills. And he actually went back and apologized to the gun people and said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I carried those. I don't believe in that anymore. Please vote for me." And so look at the history of those candidates that want to represent us, because in this case, again, the majority of U.S. citizens do want to see some kind of strengthening in gun control.
Absolutely. And you could actually go on a website to see what kind of money senators and representatives took from the NRA.
Yep.
So you could go ahead and look that up. So it's in black and white. It's for everyone to see. So that's what you need to look at.
Well, I got a couple things to bring up about that in the next segment. If you can hang on, State Senator, we got a few things to talk about. And you're coming in loud and clear, so I hope you're okay with being on today, because you're doing that important work. But I really, with a minute left here, I just want to say this real quick. And I think, I don't know how much the NRA is really giving to politicians anymore, but I really believe that this whole gun thing is a real racist thing. I think people that are really for this are afraid of BIPOC people. They rationalize these laws that they're going to be outnumbered soon. And that's one thing I'd really like to talk about, too, because we really want to motivate our voters, because we outnumber them. And we showed that in the last election. And we're going to have to really, reignite and then get more people to vote, to get our young people that weren't able to vote in the last segment to come out and vote. So,
yep.
State Senator, can you stay with us for another segment?
Yep. Awesome. I will.
That's great. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we're with Wendy Pilot Ogama and State Senator Mary Kunish. We'll be right back after this short break. Try it again, Wendy.
Please stay with us.
We'll be right back.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, ripping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex, you make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to Jay Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at Jay Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Hi, Minnesota. Make sure you tune into my program, the Tom Hartman Program, every weekday from 11 to 2 right here on AM 950. Smart radio for smart people.
20% of the general population have hearing loss and can't understand speech in noisy places. The universal blue and white hearing loss sign, imprinted with a capital letter T, means that a hearing loop is installed. Switch your hearing aids or cochlear implants into the T or telecoil mode for clearer speech. Contact your audiologist or instrument dispenser to learn more about this technology. Paid for by the Minnesota Commission of the Deaf, Deaf Blind, and Hard of Hearing, the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Tune in for Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything.
Except your intelligence.
Coming up, the scandalous truth about memoir.
I could never write a memoir. Why would anyone do that?
Don't you think we can learn from other people's experiences?
Learn from a bunch of lies and self-deceptions?
Ray Briggs, My Life as a Skeptic. I think you should write it.
The truth about memoir. Next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk. Every Sunday at 8 a.m. on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Claire Ferreira, president and owner of Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Ever since my grandfather founded Standard over 90 years ago, word-of-mouth advertising and referrals from our customers have always been important. That's why, after serving over 500,000 customers, we're proud to have a 4.9-star average rating out of 5 on our online reviews. Check them out for yourself and find out more at standardheating.com. That's standardheating.com.
June is here and the heat will be coming soon right behind it. But Standard Heating and Air Conditioning will keep you cool all summer long. That's because right now you can save $850 on a new AC or ductless system with payments as low as $65 a month. Summer's heat will be here soon whether you're ready for it or not, so make sure you're ready for the heat with this cool deal. Visit standardheating.com. That's standardheating.com. Trust the experts with over 90 years of experience. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 52, then cloudy skies on Saturday with a high of 69. Crooners is back after an exciting renovation featuring a new dining room, the brand new Maggie's Lounge, and expanded main stage seating. That's Crooner Supper Club, just north of 694 off Highway 65 in Fridley. More at croonersmn.com.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Well, we're here with, we have another worker here that's on payroll. We have the little baby with us.
Little Nova.
Little Nova. Thank you, Wendy. And then,
darling.
I don't know, did we, there's Mary. I was wondering if we lost Mary. We're with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're talking about a lot of different things here. And I'm wondering if Mary, if you can jump back on here. Yep, there you are. Great. So I don't know. We need to ignite our sleepers, you know. We need to, I think one of the best things I ever learned from Wendy as being my soulmate and partner is that we really have to look at the big picture. And I was used to like burning bridges with a flamethrower. And I think, you know, we have issues with the governor, but we also have things that we've never had before with the governor and lieutenant governor here in Minnesota. So we have to really get out and support these people, because we're going to end up with something way, 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 way worse than what we have in the governor's office, for example, right now.
Yeah. Well, politics is really so very complicated. I don't always agree with all of the lawmakers that I work with or all the Democrats. I mean, I disagree sometimes on issues with my kids, and they are like uber progressive Democrats. But what's important is, just as you said, we have to look at the big picture. And when we have attacks on basic civil rights, on our ability to live the kind of life that we want to live with good choices. I mean, I know there will be people that will come back and say, well, I have, you know, every right to own an automatic rifle, or I have every right to do this or to do that. It has to be within reason. And so, yes, we do have to ignite our population that doesn't, always participate in elections and that sort of thing. We saw a huge increase in participation last time around. And it was even the elders in our tribes. There were a number of elders that told me 2-4 years ago that they didn't even know that they could participate in elections outside of their tribal or their reservation things. And it was kind of dumbfounding to me. But when you realize it, Native folks, it was not so long ago that Native Americans got the right to vote. And so if nobody had really educated or schooled them or helped them understand the power of the vote, then we have to continue to do that. And we saw a huge increase in Native participation in the elections. And it has to happen again this time around, as well as getting those new voters, 18-year-olds who are going to be old enough by November to vote, and then making sure that they have access to voting places and are following the law when it comes to absentee voting. So there are a lot of options, but we have to be the ones that really get them going.
We have Robert Lilligren on Thursdays, and there's a couple things he said. The last cycle of the election, we had that Minnesota was one of the states that they really poured a lot of money in, because we have such our Native community could change the vote nationally. And so that's exciting to hear, but also to get our people out again and to vote. And I think there's strategies and things like that. And also, if one thing he always says too that makes sense to me is, like, if you vote the first time you can, like for me, mine was the 1980 presidential election. If you vote when you can the first time, you're likely to vote the rest of your life. So we got to get these good habits out to our people, our young ones.
Yeah, I think that was my first voting. Would you vote for president that year?
Well, of course, Jimmy Carter. Come on.
Oh, yes.
Ronald Reagan.
Too. Yeah, that was my first presidential. But it's absolutely true. And, I don't think people realize, like, when I say the power of their vote, when you look at the federal obligations to Indian country that were part of the treaties and part of the agreements and statute after statute that has never been fully followed or incorporated. And then how that trickles down to the state level for our Native folks. I mean, we passed legislation here in Minnesota that has to do with federal laws that open up funding opportunities from the federal level for our tribes. And it's not just, money, but it's healthcare, it's education, it's economic development. There are tons of dollars, thousands, billions of dollars that we leave on the table at the federal level, because they have to kind of be approved at the state level to disperse. And so that is another big reason why we've been so underfunded in Indian country. And if you don't have people who understand that, in the legislature, then it's never going to happen. I think of the work that we've been able to do and the funding that we've been able to pull down here in Minnesota in the last 6 years, because we now have Native folks in the House, in the Senate, in the Lieutenant Governor, and it's because of that. And these are things I never knew before I was elected. But when somebody comes to me and says, there's this money for breast cancer screening, but we can't get at it until the legislature agrees to it. And it's the most ridiculous thing. It's like, of course we will do that. But if there wasn't somebody who understood it or had the empathy or was willing to put in the time to do it, because for myself, I understand the complexities and the devastation that breast cancer and cancer in general has to our communities. And I, you know, didn't hesitate to say yes, where somebody else might say, well, I don't know. I don't really understand it. I don't know what that means when it. And so we need people that are willing to step in and step up and make sure that we are accessing those resources at that federal level.
You know, that is such a really good point, and that's things I think I haven't learned until we had Native representation too in the state. And, you know, there's so many, we just to switch gears for a second, there's so many BIPOC people that we really need to support, and we also have a lot of allies too in the Democratic side that do understand these things that you talk about and that you speak of. And so we really, again, I think part of our job here in Native Roots Radio, especially in this cycle, and then you being on the show and the other things that we do during the show, is to really invigorate our people to vote, to get out and vote. We outnumber them. I just got to keep saying that.
Yeah, especially in northern Minnesota with the tribes all in one big district. I mean, they have the power to do to make the change. They have the power to put in candidates either this time around or next time around to ensure that they really do have a voice in governing not just their own sovereign nations, but as a partner here in Minnesota.
Yeah, exactly. Wen, do you got a response here for a state senator by any chance?
No, I think that all I want to say is that we need to talk to as many people as we possibly can and tell them what's going on if they don't know, and to really get those young people, the 18-year-olds, out there and vote and have them talk to their friends, and that's what we need to do.
Yep.
And I think State Senator and Wendy, I think, you know, our young people, for the most part, are more liberal than we ever were, because that's funny, Mary, you asked me who I voted for, because you don't know back then, because, you know, what you heard in the news about Jimmy Carter and all that, you know, but Reagan, you know, to me, scared me. He had his finger on the red button, I always thought, you know, because he was going after the Russians right away. But, you know, Jimmy Carter, if you look at his presidency, it was all because of the way it was set up, that him to fail on the hostage situation. And he is still a doer at 90-some years old. He's still building homes for people. It's just amazing.
He's one of my most admired people. And, you know, I voted for him my first time out there, but both of my parents were pretty strong Republicans. And I remember having discussions and debates with my dad, especially. He started the Republican caucus up in the town that I grew up in, about 8 miles north of the Twin Cities. And he was a huge social justice kind of guy. But, you know, he also saw some value in Republican positions around, you know, the government not having that much control in your life and this, that, and the other. But I know that after Jimmy Carter was elected, and in those 4 years, my dad grew to really appreciate him considerably. And I, for one, was very disappointed that he was not reelected, and how different this world would be if he had had 4 more years.
Well, we can even go back to the Kennedys, even in the 68 election, if Bobby Kennedy still lived, how different this world would be. Yeah, it's just it's sad to think about these things, but it's also positive to have people like you in office. Again, the Lieutenant Governor, Jamie Becker Finn, Heather Keeler, here in Minnesota, representing us and educating people, like you said. You know, a lot of people don't understand our plight, and you know, if you talk to people generally about Native Americans, they think we're not around anymore and that we're dinosaurs and we left with the dinosaurs and we always fought each other, so be it, you know. So it's just crazy. But you know, I really appreciate you stopping in because you're doing double duty right now. And Mary, your words speak and go a long way with us here and our listeners. So it's always great to have you on.
Well, thank you very much. Wolfala Tonka.
Thank you, Mary. Have a great weekend.
Yes, everyone be safe out there.
Awesome. Wow, that's that was State Senator Mary Kunish, Wendy. We're lucky to have her.
Oh, absolutely. And we need to elect more people just like her.
Yeah. You know, it's fun, too. We got just a few seconds, but she was the first politician to come on our show. So we are, and that was 5 years ago. So yeah. We're glad to have her here. Hey, up next, our sacred animal section with Wendy Pilot.
Stay with us.
From climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howl! I can hear Ogama howl, but I can't see her.
I thought I heard Nova howl, too. Maybe not. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy Pilot's been an animal advocate for many years, and she speaks about our sacred animals, which are our relatives here all around Turtle Island. And again, I always learn a lot from Wendy and her reports. And I think, is today Fun Friday? Fun Fact
Friday? It is Fun Fact Friday.
Well, welcome.
Yeah, thanks. Hi, everybody. My name is Hana Jihi Hani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. People who are watching us on Facebook could see a painting of a seahorse right behind me. I painted him. His name is Stanley, and he is a seahorse. horse. And a fun fact about seahorses is that the male get pregnant and give birth. So just two species in the whole world, which is the seahorse and the sea dragon, the male is the one who gets pregnant and gives birth. It's the only two species. I think that's pretty awesome.
Wow, but the sacred the sacred seahorse in the background there. Beautiful.
Exactly, that's Stanley. But what's he's not finished yet. He's a work in progress. I still have more work on him, but I did want to make his belly big because he's supposedly pregnant. but I have an article here, and it's from Sharing Smiles, and it was written by Rebecca Rodriguez. And normally what I talk about is usually fun, furry animals and cute things. But today I'm going to be talking about animals that I would not even want to get 10 feet near, not even near them. So Rebecca Rodriguez came up with these weird animals. And I'm going to talk about the female anaconda. Grows up to 15 feet in length and are capable of eating alligators whole. Anacondas are not the longest snake out there, but they are the heaviest and the most muscular. A female and male python have the largest size discrepancy between any two sexes of the same species. A female python is 2.5 times larger than its male counterparts, and I would not want to come within a mile of that thing. The stonefish is the most venomous fish in the sea, able to kill in just 10 minutes. They are also able to survive up to 24 hours out of water. Of Australia's many deadly creatures, the stonefish ranks among the very top for deadliness and hardiness, able to survive prolonged periods out of the water, as well as covered in spikes designed to kill quickly. This ambush is many divers' worst nightmare. And as you'll see, Australia has quite a few different pretty scary animals. The cassowary is considered the world's most dangerous bird. It stands 6 feet tall with claws 5 inches long. If you look at their a hand next to the talons, you could see how crazy big this bird really is. Wow. Cassowaries are one of the few birds not only capable of killing a human, but have actually done so. Some refer to them as dinosaurs that still walk the earth. Their giant talons can rip almost anything to shreds, and these carnivorous birds' beaks have evolved to cut through the meat of their prey. So I don't want to come into I don't want Jeez, actually that, if you look up this cool. bird if you look up the bird the cassowary it's actually a very beautiful looking bird. Yellow-bellied sea snakes are highly venomous and hunt for prey in groups of thousands. The yellow-bellied sea snakes is one of the most venomous residents of Australia. Again, comes from Australia, which is saying a lot. What increases their nightmare factor is their habit of hunting in large groups. It is not uncommon to see them hunting in their thousands in one huge writhing mass. I think that's pretty scary. Komodo dragons are smart enough to know to go for the arteries and will sometimes team up when hunting. The entire beast is made of killing utensils. From its curved and serrated teeth, its dagger-like claws, its whip-like tail, to its poisonous spittle, it's hard to imagine a more purpose-built hunting machine. And I would not want to come next to those. This next one is really kind of gross. The star-fingered toad gives births to dozens of toadlets from, it's back. The incredible power of nature is not only found in the realms of strength or speed, but can also be seen in the way some animals have adapted to better survive the harsh wilds. To protect their young from predators, the star-fingered toad hatches their toadlets using their own body as a breeding pod. I think it's just kind of gross. It looks like something I'd watch on Dr. Pimple Popper or something. I don't know. The alligator snapping turtle has a bite force of 1,000 pounds. Snapping turtle certainly has earned its name. One of the few turtles actually capable of harming a human. It is as fearsome as it looks. Its impressive jaw power is capable of biting through the bones of its prey and those unwise enough to get in its way. Well, I'll tell you, I'm not getting in the way of that thing at all.
Wendy, you got a theme. You got a theme going on here with deadly and poisonous.
I know. I told you, I'm not coming next to any of these animals. The beluga sturgeon in the Black Sea is the world's largest freshwater fish. It never stops growing and has reached lengths of 24 feet. The beluga sturgeon is perhaps best known for the caviar they produce, but these fascinating animals have some other remarkable characteristics, one of them being their enormous size. The huge fish is only restricted by its lifespan as it grows, since it never stops growing throughout its life. That's disgusting. Last but not least, the mantis shrimp has the world's fastest punch at 50 miles per hour, capable of breaking clean through aquarium glass. Mantis shrimp have the honor of being nature's fiercest boxer. Their claws are capable of delivering 50 mile an hour blows and shattering through thick glass of aquariums and breaking fingers. That's to say nothing of their incredibly dense shelves of beautiful colors. And it really is a beautiful little creature. I would like to come into contact with it because I think it's really cute. But if it's going to punch me at 50 miles an hour, I'm going to stay clear away. So those are our Fun Fact Friday with some crazy animals that I do not want to come near. And a couple of them came from Australia. So I think Australia has quite a few of those crazy, scary, poisonous, venomous animals out there. So we need to be really careful about going to Australia, Robert, if it's ever something on our list to do.
I don't know. I was thinking Hawaii before Australia.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm going to finish painting Stanley tonight. He's in the background. I'm going to make his belly just a little bit bigger, and maybe I'll have him have his babies also.
Shooting out. Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
Well, great segment, Wendy, and I'll talk to you after the show, and you know, I just want to end with these thoughts. You're listening to the show. You are part of the resistance. For Chief Plentycoops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop line 3 and 5.